Bengals at Jets. Are they going to dress up as the winning team for Halloween?
This is going to be 31-0 Bengals. I'm giving you the score, too.
Woo. So I'm going to take the Bengals as well. Over or under 4 picks for Mr. White in his starting
under,
debut.
Under, but he'll have 3 picks and a fumble lost. Ah.
Well, it's a big show. Welcome to the Fade Route. It's a big bad show tonight. With DNZ. Here are your hosts. Crack it up, tell them it works. DNZ.
Welcome to the Fade Route with DNZ. I am D, and we have a great show for you tonight. We're going to dive into the World Series, discuss winners and losers at the NFL trade deadline, and issue an apology to the New York Jets. But we begin today's show discussing the importance of mental health in America and in professional sports. Wide receiver Calvin Ridley stepped away from football Sunday, citing a need to focus on mental health. Ridley was inactive Sunday and did not travel with the Falcons a few weeks ago when they played the Jets in London. Willie Gay, second-year linebacker for the Kansas City Chiefs, came out and acknowledged he was battling some mental demons as well. He spoke about being human and being more than a football player. Z, we ask a lot of our athletes, is this another reckoning for the NFL?
Well, I think so. From the standpoint that we are finally going to start breaking down some of these barriers and some of these tropes that kind of plague sports locker rooms, NFL locker rooms in general. Now, you played college football. You played high school football. You understand what it's like in that kind of environment. But for most people, they can't understand. They can only kind of think about the pressure to perform, the over machoization of things where you can't show your emotions, you have to be tough, you have to grit through the pain, you have to play injured, and anything other is a sign of weakness. Anything other is a sign of less than hyper masculinity. And kudos to both of these men to say that I'm not okay, and it's okay for me not to be okay. And like, we've had plenty of guys in the past who may have been going through this, but have decided to cope with drugs and alcohol, or have decided to do other things to kind of mask the pain that they're going through. And one of the great examples is Brandon Marshall, right? Brandon Marshall is a known sufferer of bipolar disorder, very vocal about his struggles. But in the beginning, before he was open and vocal about it, he wasn't, you know, he was considered a bad teammate. He was considered a diva wide receiver. And, you know, it's an underlying thing. They are, at the end of the day, football players are human beings. And I think we as fans, particularly with the rise of fantasy football and the popularity of fantasy football, we tend to look at them as more like cattle. And I think that's not right. They are people too. Football players are people too. They need to be treated as such. And it's okay to not be okay. And I think NFL locker rooms and locker rooms in general need to normalize this kind of thing in order to get the best and get a longer, more prolonged career out of some of their players. Because who knows, you know, who knows how many players had their careers shut down because of these kinds of struggles.
Yeah, it's a slippery slope. You know, I expect a lot more of this moving forward. Simone Biles and Naomi Osaka really opened the door for athletes to come out and speak how they're feeling and open up, letting people know that they're not okay. I like how Willie Gay did it. I like how he explained, you know, some of the things that he was going through on and off the field, really dating back to college, and just letting people know that he's human. And just because he makes 10 tackles in a game doesn't mean that he had a great game or he's having a great day. I'm not a fan of the way Simone Biles did it. I'm not a fan of the way of Naomi Osaka did it. I'm not even really a fan of the way Calvin Ridley did it. I mean, he pretty much decided that he needed to step away from football to focus on his mental health. He didn't really deeply dive into what's going on. And he doesn't have to. I mean, it's a health thing. It's personal. It could be that way. But then what happens is you have a person like Ben Simmons who now comes and says, I'm not mentally ready to play. I'm not mentally prepared to take the court. Now, what do we got to do now? We have to respect him, right? Because that's what he's saying. And is it true? Is it not true? It's tough, right? It's because I don't know, even as a former player, I don't know how much of a difference there is between getting physically ready to play and mentally ready to play. And I'm not sure. I would think that getting physically ready to play is easier than getting mentally ready to play. But again, what I go back to is, you know, that's the difference between you being a professional athlete and an amateur athlete. You know, one of the things that happens to players when they get up on the big level is maybe they can't hit that professional breaking ball. Maybe they can't catch that NFL-sized football. And it's not always because they're not athletically able to do it, right? It's because of all the surrounding pressure. The fans in the stands. The, oh, I had a fight with my wife before I left the house. Oh, I really haven't gotten to see my kid or play with my kid in a long time, right? It's like everybody's going through these different things in their life, and they all handle them differently. And I'm not saying, and what's going to happen, in my opinion, is analysts are not going to be allowed to say, oh, he's mentally tough. Oh, you need to be mentally tough to play this game. This requires a certain intellectual ability. I'm telling you, they're going to take those things away. You're not going to be able to say those things for much longer because you're talking about a person's mental well-being.
True. And a lot of those things, like soft or weak, or things, you know, a lot of those are dog whistles. So I can see where, not to bring in the realm of politics, but those are definitely dog whistle words, and you definitely conjure up a certain connotation of people. But at the end of the day, like, you know, we're in a different time, you know?
Yep.
It was like from when we were playing at an amateur, and as you further up the ranks than I was, but it was prevalent. And now, I mean, as somebody who struggles with self-image issues and mental health issues, like, I totally can empathize with them and I can understand where they're coming from. The Ben Simmons situation is definitely loaded because of all the mitigating circumstances around him. I'm not saying I don't believe him. He's saying that he's not mentally ready. I'm taking him at his word. You absolutely have to. Naomi Osaka said she's not ready. I take you at your word. Simone Biles, you're not ready. I take you at your word. But moving forward, there's definitely lines being drawn as far as what is fair criticism and what is unfair criticism. And I think if you can criticize the performance on the field without attacking the person, I think that is going to be the sign of a great journalist moving forward. So you're not going to use the dog whistles of he's mentally fragile, he's soft, he's weak, she's mentally soft, she can't handle the pressure. You know, because you don't know, again, you don't know what everybody's going through. I mean, Think about Simone Biles. We'll go back to Simone Biles. Like, we still, we really don't understand and comprehend what happened with Larry Nassar. Like, I can't wrap my mind. No one, unless you were in that situation, you are not going to understand. So only thing you can do is empathize and move forward. And as media, because now, you know, even though we're doing a podcast here, we're still the media. We need to be cognizant of that, and we need to call ourselves out on the carpet for when we do things like that, because at the end of the day, it's a different time, and we need to be aware, and we need to be more human. We need to be more empathetic about other people and what they're going through, because we also go through it as humans.
Yeah, 100%. And you know, Calvin Ridley's a great player, and I hope he, you know, gets what he needs from this break, and I hope he comes back and is able to play. And like I said, hats off to Willie Gay, who really explained it and maybe helped out a lot of other players that are going through it. And letting them know, like, I think one of the best things about that article was he was saying you don't know how much it means for someone just to be like, hey, are you good? Like, someone, he said, someone just asking him that made him feel, like, cared about. It made him feel appreciated. And it went such a long way. And I think as athletes, as teammates, as fans, that needs to be done a lot more. Like, hey, man, are you good? Are you okay? What's going on? And not so much so derogatory and just attacking people just because they can't make a tackle. Or just because they can't get up on a balance beam, or just because they don't want to talk to the media. Like you said, we live in a different time. We have to be more understanding of people's feelings. And
I feel, if I could just interject really quick, that social media definitely has an interaction. You know, they definitely have their role in this, because you have more direct contact as a fan than ever before. You can slide in Simone Biles' DMs and talk all the shit in the world. You can comment on one of Willie Gay's pics on Instagram and talk all the shit in the world and hide behind your keyboard, and you never have to deal with them man to man. And that's not right. That's just, you know, it goes back to being empathetic. And all this does, all social media does, is embolden cowards.
Yes. Right. And, you know, speaking of that, we were really attacked on social media and through our emails because we really threw the Jets under the bus last week. And then they came out and they beat the Bengals. Mike White proved us wrong, threw for 400 yards, scored a touchdown and a two-point conversion to get the W for the J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. Do we owe the Jet fans an apology, and is there a controversy in the swamps of Jersey? How to jab that in there.
First and foremost, on that two-point conversion play, they ran the Philly special. So we're going to call that, what, the South Jersey special? We're going to call that, what, the Camden special? The Short Hill special? I like that. The Short Hill special. Do we owe Jet fans an apology? Hell no, because you didn't expect it either. Let's be real here. I apologize to absolutely no one, as the notorious Conor McGregor once said. You guys, as Jet fans, did you really expect Mike White to go off like he did? If you told me that, I wouldn't believe you. I'm sorry. We're critical of New York teams. We watch them. We see them. We interact with them on a basis. So, you know, we got one wrong. It happens. We get games wrong all the time. Mike White had a fantastic game. So, Mike, if you're listening, 37-45, 405, three touchdowns, two picks, not great. That Southfield special, that Short Hill special play, nice job. You have command of the offense. You have poise in the pocket. Excellent job. Michael Carter, 15 carries for 77 and a touchdown. Nice. Good job. Solid. I refuse to get carried one win. It's a short week. Do it again against Carson Wentz and the Colts. And then will I even consider apologizing to Jet fans? As far as whether or not there's a quarterback, one guy's doing jack, had one good game. Slow your roll.
Yeah, I mean, let's be clear. I mean, if Zach Wilson played in this game, the Jets probably would have lost. the Bengals should have won the game, but you know they were coming off of a division game in Baltimore, where you know they beat a division opponent handedly, and it took everything and all of them to do that. It took the Jets all four quarters to get this victory. Having said all that, just like you said, Mike White looked in complete control of the offense against a Bengals defense that really held Baltimore in check the week before. The good news is that this should bring out the best in Zach Wilson. But I don't think the best of Zach Wilson is better than the best of Mike White, at least this year. I believe Mike White's experience on
NFL practice squads.
That's what I was just about to say. I believe he's got, he was drafted 2 or 3 years ago by Dallas. He's been playing on the big boy level for a while. But how great would it be if Mike White became the next Tom Brady? How cool would that be? That would be so solid. I'd love it.
For Jet fans, long-suffering Jet fans, that would be awesome, man. I want him to be successful. I don't like trashing the Jets. It may sound like we take particular delight in trashing the Jets, but no, we want to see good football. That's all. Every single game has to be good.
Avoid messy accidents. Get better stopping power with your brake pads. Callahan brake pads. You never know when you'll be driving in the road and there will be a truck tire that you need to avoid and save your family. Callahan Auto, we really care about what's under your hood. Right. And we were looking for some really good football this weekend when the Bucs took on the Saints. And we actually had a really good game. But Jameis Winston goes down. There's a terrible play. Vontae David, linebacker of the Bucs, grabbed him by horse collar. Tore his ACL, done for the year. Having said all that, who should the Saints get on the phone and call? Because they have a chance to be a Super Bowl contender this year.
Trevor Siemian is the guy. And Trevor Siemian has not been the guy in a while. He was a Jets, and then he was with the Broncos for a little bit,
but long term, he's not the answer. I think we can agree on that. We have feelings about Taysom Hill very
so.
I don't particularly believe that he's the answer. This year, Jameis Winston was completing 59% of his passes. He had 1,170 yards, 14 touchdowns, 3 picks. Fantastic ratio for Mr. 30-30. A fantastic ratio. I don't know who you get now that the trade is gone. You could have called for Nick Foles. You could have called about. You could have called for Joe Flacco. You could have called for Sam Darnold if you really wanted to reach. You could have called for Gardner Minshew. Now, I mean, you could have even called for Case Keenum because Baker Mayfield was back in the lineup on Sunday. I don't know how wise that was, but he was there. But now that you're looking at scrap heap quarterbacks and practice squad pickups, you're looking at guys like Nathan Peterman, the Peterman. I don't think you want the Peterman on your team. Or Cam Newton. Like Cam Newton at this point has now been removed almost 9 weeks from training camp. But he's probably the most ready of anybody. But honestly, at this point, the guys you're getting aren't going to be as good as the guys you already have who are running your system. Cam would be an upgrade, but right now I think you got to dance with who you got.
Dance with who you got. Yeah, I mean, we talked about this in a production meeting. I wrote down a few names right away. I mean, I thought about Phillip Rivers, and I thought about Cam Newton. And then I was like, but who could they trade for? Because the trade deadline hadn't passed yet. I was like, all right, well, they could trade for Deshaun Watson. They could trade for Nick Foles. What about Jimmy G? Or, you know, Teddy Bridgewater played in this system. And why not Drew Lock? I mean, he's not getting any burn. And then I realized that they have not been playing with a true starting quarterback for like the last 3 years. They have an excellent defense. They have a great running back. And Mike Thomas is coming back, I think, either this week or next week. They beat the defending champions with Trevor Siemian on Sunday. Got to ride with him the rest of the season. I'm with you on this. I like how Drew Brees told reporters that he would not be interested in returning. It's like, okay, Drew, don't worry. They're not interested in you coming back anyway. I think they'd rather eat dog shit than have you come play for them again.
At this point, Drew's arm is comparable to Chad Pennington's.
Jeez, just like relax, Drew Brees. They're not interested. Don't worry about it, man. So, yeah, I mean, that's where I'm leaning. I think you just got to strap it up with what you got, get creative, and hope for the best. You mentioned Flacco. Flacco got a big arm, and he would do well, but it looks like Joe's just trying to collect a paycheck at this point. It kind of reminds me of, like, when Michael Vick was in playing for the Jets. Like, he didn't care about the playbook. He's like, guys, I just got out of prison. I need to just collect them. I just need the money. I just need money. Like, you want me to play? Sure. But I just need money right now.
No, totally. And you can't do much worse on average than what they've been producing. They're 31st in the league in passing yards average. You're looking at 180.9. So, you know, Jameis Winston has a big arm. Joe Flacco would be a big improvement. They could have picked anybody off of the Pittsburgh, you know, anybody off the Steelers if they wanted to. They could have picked off anybody. But at this point, this is week 9. We're halfway through the season. Yeah. You can't afford, like, Phillip Rivers, like he said, he wouldn't say no. The problem is this. You now have to shake off not preparing all offseason, not preparing all training camp, and then 9 weeks. That's like severe injury time off. And yeah. Is Phillip Rivers at his age and at this stage in the season going to be better than the guys that you currently have? And the answer is overwhelmingly no. It's the one good thing I like. The Saints brought back Mark Ingram. The load is not all on Alvin Kamara right now. And if Michael Thomas can find the fucking end zone, like, that would be even better for them. But I say ride with Trevor Siemian. Have Taysom Hill be the trick quarterback. Have him be the gadget guy.
Got to bring him back to doing the gadget stuff, 100%.
And then just roll with it. Because you're 5-2. You're 5-2. You're in the playoffs right now. Like, you're in the hunt.
Yeah, it's gonna be tough sledding. Well, I guess not tough sledding, right? They gotta play the Bucks one more time. They just still gotta play Carolina, and they still gotta play Atlanta. So they can really, if they split those games, they'd be fine. It's just that, yeah, it's a tough draw, and this is kind of why the NFL back in the day created NFL Europe, was because they wanted a league where they could develop quarterbacks, develop throwers. And that's where Kurt Warner came from. Casey Bramlett came out of there. JT O'Sullivan came out of there. You had some guys come out of that league and become professional quarterbacks. And now it's like you look around, there's not much. And the other thing is not a lot of teams are going to give up their backup quarterback. Like, you know, Buffalo's not giving up Mitchell Trubisky.
Nope.
Kansas City ain't giving up Chad Henne.
Nope.
Like, you know, just these things are just not going to happen. You can't get good quarterbacks anymore.
The Bucs will happily give you Blaine Gabbert.
Yeah. He's okay. You can take him.
You can have Blake Bortles.
Same thing. The Bears are not inclined to give up Nick Foles. Even though, you know, Andy Dalton would work there. Really, he would. He's a thrower. But they're just not going to hand him over. Yeah, and this happens. Unfortunately, this happens too often.
Looking to break into broadcast media, web development, social media marketing, or filmmaking? Then CSB is the program for you. From day one, you'll be trained hands-on by industry pros like friend of the show Rob Adams, whose goal is to get you trained and get you working in months, not years. CSB offers 8 and 16-week programs in small class sizes designed to give you the personalized attention you need. If you can make it in person, there are 5 East Coast locations. If you can't, they offer virtual classes too. How great is that? And once you graduate, you become part of the alumni network that gets you to the front of the line. Trust me, I'm an alum myself. Go to gocsb.com today, request more info, set up a studio tour, and who knows, you may very well be on your way to a career in broadcast media. That's gocsb.com, and tell them Z sent you. gocsb.com.
You know, Jameis Winston got hurt. Another guy that got hurt over the weekend was Derrick Henry. Big loss. My pick for MVP this year, hands down, was Derrick Henry. And, you know, he's getting an MRI. He's scheduled for surgery. Most likely won't be coming back this year. Can Tennessee keep winning without their best player?
It definitely is, because you're looking at 937 yards, touchdowns,
10 touchdowns. He's had more yards than some teams have had yards. So he's outrushing teams. That's crazy talk. As far as Ken, it's possible you have.
Houston, the Patriots aren't great.
You have the Jaguars, you have the Niners, you have the Dolphins. You have winnable games here, absolutely. This is why you brought in Julio Jones. This is why you have AJ Brown. They just brought back Adrian Peterson off the scrap heap. Finally, one of these big name running backs gets brought in. I don't know if he'll be up to speed right away, and I don't think it's fair for him to have to be up to speed right away. But this is why you made the deal, and it's time for Julio Jones to step up and be the guy that they traded for. They can absolutely make hay in this division. They absolutely can continue to win. They just have to – they need to – Tannehill's hand.
His hands
and just take it from there.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. I think the answer is yes, especially if Julio can be some form of himself, and then have Ryan Tannehill start running the ball more. Let's look at the next 5 games. They have the Saints, the Texans, the Patriots, the Jaguars, and the Steelers. I mean, I think they can win four out of 5 of those games for sure. So their division's not world beaters. Who are they playing? They got to play the Colts, the Jaguars, and the Texans.
The Texans, I mean, yeah.
So, I mean, really, it sucks. You're probably going to have to change your game plan a bit. but they've been winning some really good games. They believe they beat Buffalo. They beat down the Kansas City Chiefs. So they've shown that they can play at a high level. And I believe in the Chiefs game, Henry only had like 68 yards rushing. It was more of like their defense and Ryan Tannehill beating them. So yes, I think that Tennessee can keep it going, and I hope that they keep it going.
Absolutely, because this is a ready-made team. This is win now for the Tennessee Titans, and that Julio Jones trade is going all in. Like that Bud Dupree signing is going all in. Vrabel thinks they can contend. The GM thinks they can contend. It's shit or get off the pot time.
Yeah, and I don't think their window's closing, but it's been open for like 2 years now, right? Yeah. And at some point, you're gonna have to pay more of these guys. So I'd say they probably got like another 2 years for them, you know, to make some noise. And it doesn't look like the Chiefs are the team that they were a couple of years ago. It looks like the Buffalo and Baltimore might be their stiffest competition, but they've proven they can beat them. At least they've proven that they can beat Buffalo. Are you in need of air care maintenance or service? I have the company for you. Air Care Technicians. They service the Westchester and Northern Bronx area and can help you with all your heating and cooling maintenance and service needs. Just give them a call at 914-315-1547. Again, that's 914-315-1547. Or shoot them an email at aircaretechnicians@gmail.com. These guys are the real deal, as they are veteran-owned, licensed, and insured. Make sure to tell them that D&Z sent you. But, you know, one of the things you mentioned was that the Titans are all in on this season. Well, in case you didn't wonder, the Rams are all in on this season as well. They found some draft picks to trade, surprisingly, and they went and picked up Von Miller. And then the Chiefs, they figured, hey, we need some more defensive help because we can't stop anything. They went and got Melvin Ingram from Pittsburgh. So Melvin went from the Chargers to Pittsburgh to now the Chiefs. And then Watson didn't go anywhere, which everybody was hoping he would. So trade deadline's come and gone. Who are your winners and losers?
So I don't know where Stan Kroenke found these draft picks in the couch cushions to give to Les Snead, but good for him. Good job.
Alleged draft picks.
It's like the bench warmers where the kid has the birth certificate that says I am 12. Like that's it. This is 2022 second round pick. Pick is spelt wrong. Like the whole thing.
Do you even have a 2 second round pick? you're sending me two of those. NFL's like, wait a minute.
Look this up.
You gotta carry the one. Oh. This is 2022, right? Not 2042.
Oh, Les Snead. We kid because we love. And I have no idea how you're still employed. But it's a good move. Von Miller, he doesn't have to be the guy in that defense. You already have Aaron Donald. He's a second level player. He could be a beast. And that team is already loaded, and it's further pushing their chips into the table. I don't know if Melvin Ingram necessarily moves the needle for the Chiefs, but their defense is terrible. I don't know if adding just one guy makes them any better. The clear winner is the Rams. I'm kind of meh on the Chiefs. For me, it's about the guys who didn't go anywhere. So a big loser, the Giants. Get rid of Evan Ingram. That was your one goal. That was your one freaking thing. They could have got rid of Sterling Shepard too, but then, Sterling Shepard goes down with a knee last night.
Yeah.
What are you going to do? Odell Beckham, another guy who could have been moved. And apparently his dad was kind of trying to orchestrate something with the REM video of all the times that Baker underthrew, overthrew, or just didn't see Odell Beckham open. So that's pretty bad. DeSean Jackson, like, he ended up being collateral damage here. So I think he's going to catch on somewhere, but I don't think he's going to be in as good of a situation as what he's leaving with the Rams. And the Rams get hurt all the time. Cooper Kupp, he's always kind of dinged up. He would have gotten his play. He just needed to be a little patient. Deshaun Watson, you know how I feel about Deshaun Watson. He should be on the inactive list, so they shouldn't even have bothered. But Tua, I really think the Miami Dolphins are a big loser because they didn't move Tua either. How do you poison the well so badly with this guy? And then you get nothing for it. You get nothing for the situation. You have the guy. You now have to repair the relationship with said guy. But you still want to get the guy who should be on the inactive list. It makes no sense to me.
Yeah, I'm going to kind of disagree with you with the Von Miller thing in respect to, I think he, I don't know. I like how, I think he's top 10 in quarterback pressures, which is awesome. He's an 8-time Pro Bowler, Super Bowl champion, and I think he leads all active players in sacks since like 2012, but I think they gave up too much for him. I don't think they needed to give a second and a third round pick for him. The trade leaves the Rams without any first four round selections until 2024, and only four draft picks in the next draft, just in case you're wondering. And the earliest pick that they have is the third round now. Wow.
So who's coming up? I mean, who's coming up on contract for them that they can possibly trade? You probably think Ramsey, or I would say, like, who's going to get them any value if they have to start tearing this down?
I think Ramsey, this is his second year. I think he has two more. I don't really know, but I mean, I get why you like it. I didn't like what they gave up for it. And again, they're getting the Denver Broncos to eat most of the salary, which is great, but you really, really gotta win this year. Like, you really have to win this year. And this all comes down to Matthew Stafford, who hasn't won a playoff game. He's 0-3. And now it's just, let's put up or shut up, Matt. I mean, everyone's kind of saying, like, you're not the same old Matt Stafford from Detroit. There's not going to be any excuses after you get into the playoffs this time. You're most likely going to have to beat the Cardinals. You're going to have to beat the Packers. Like, you're going to have to beat some serious NFC teams.
You have to beat the Cowboys. The Cowboys look serious.
And beat the Cowboys. So, you know, I'm not so sold on old Matt Stafford. I think he's a great quarterback. I mean, I think he's got a good arm, but I mean, I still think back to all the years he had Megatron. It's just like the, you know, it wasn't just because of him. But we'll see what happens there. I thought the Texans were losers. I agree with you. The Giants were losers. You should have been able to move Ingram. I give anybody take a ham sandwich for the guy, for crying out loud. Rudolph's catching the touchdowns.
The six for Joe Flacco. You could have gotten a six for Evan Ingram.
Yeah. So I think the Texans were losers because they're paying a guy to just not play, and they have wasted a year of his career, and they've told fans that this is what we're doing, and I just think it's such garbage. I just really do. As I know, a lot of people disagree with me, but I kind of like the Chiefs' pickup of Melvin Ingram. Now, I know he only has 10 tackles and one sack, but let me tell you, the Saints need help. I mean, the Chiefs need help. So, that's where I am on what happened on draft day.
Yeah, it was a pretty quiet one, too. I think the only trade we didn't mention was Duvernay-Tardif going from the Chiefs to the Jets. But
he didn't even play. What did he play? I think he just became active, right? He just started playing?
I think so, but he was medically... I mean, he has a bigger picture thing going on in Canada. So, like, Dr. Tardif, like, I wouldn't put my eggs in that basket. You're doing yeoman's work battling on the front lines. Like, I this is a wash. This feels like we have to offset some salary because Melvin Ingram's coming in, and we just gotta bite the bullet on this one.
Yeah, and you would have thought I would have thought the Cardinals would have done something because, you know, they lost J.J. Watt. I would have thought Pittsburgh would have done something, but you know they beat Cleveland, so they're in a good position. You know, trade deadline in the NFL is not trade line in the NBA. It's not like the trade deadline in the NBA or Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball is wild.
You can find The Fade Route on Facebook now. Check out our Facebook page, The Fade Route with DNZ. It's a one-stop shop for everything we do. Content, link to the Fade store, all of our episodes, you name it, it is there. The Fade Route with DNZ on Facebook. Very true. And speaking of in a good position, you have currently the Braves are up 3-0 on the Astros in game 6 tonight. But did the Braves miss their best chance to close them out in game 5?
I mean, how do you hit a grand slam in the first inning and lose the game 9-5?
Like, hold my beer.
What the fuck, man? I mean, this is not an elite staff. I've been saying this about the Braves forever. They're 3-8 in World Series clinching games. Oh, that's fantastic stat. It's just awful. The last game, they looked like the Braves in the first part of the season. I would not say it was their best chance, though. I'll give them a little credit. They really set up their pitching for Game 6 and Game 7. They have Fried pitching tonight, and despite the craziness that happened in the first inning, he seems to be settled in now. And then it's Ian Anderson in Game 7. Like, if the Astros are going to beat the Braves, they're going to have to beat their best. So, but Astros lost both games at home to the Nationals last time they played in the World Series. So I think the best chance to win is tomorrow night when Ian Anderson pitches, although I do love how we're up 3-0 right now.
Definitely, but you miss Charlie Morton. You just miss him. But it was a fluke injury that could have happened to anybody. But his arm and his ability to command and go deep into games is something that is sorely missed. How many bullpen games can you withstand? You had to start Dylan Lee, who didn't make out the first inning. Kyle Wright pitched great, but then not Kyle Wright for the series. So, bully for you. Last night, you had Tucker Davidson. Tucker Davidson started. Drew Smyly cleaned up with 3 solid, 2 runs, 5 hits for a guy that hasn't been pitching. They Jeff Weavered him. They just carried him on the roster.
Pretty much.
You know, you have some guys. Just use the guys that brought you here. And Waskar Anoa, another guy that you're seriously missing right now, because he would have given you another arm out of that. And he's pretty good when he's not punching walls. But Chavez is beaten down, even though he's pitching. I mean, your ERA, but you can't use him all the time. I think he's our age. So, you know, eventually he's going to break down. Minter hasn't been great.
He just should have started the game. Start the game with him.
Is it as weird as when Craig Counsell started the game with the lefty specialist and then took him out? No, it's not. You know, and who are you going against? You're going against, you know, Rock the Baby tonight, and who are they throwing in Game 7? So, yeah, I, you know, this has been garbage pitching.
Your old Mother Hubbard and only balls in the cupboard.
There he goes. That Grinch is going to make an appearance. He sounds like he's trying to strain out a shit.
To think about where the Braves were, Maddox, Glavin, Smoltz, Avery, Denny Nagel, Tim Hudson, these scrubs. Astros, Nolan Ryan, Mike Scott, Roger Clemens, Andy Pettit. These scrubs. It is, oh, it's galling to me as somebody who's a fan of baseball and who I consider myself a steward of the game of baseball to see what has become of this game. It is pathetic. It is horrible. And something needs to be done. Something needs to be done because this is absolute trash.
Can't help but smile when you see a balloon. The simplest occasion is a party. Westchester Pop Stars, located in New Rochelle, New York, offers balloon styling and decor for all life's events. Birthdays, anniversaries, weddings, showers, school and corporate events, store openings, or just because. Westchester Pop Stars takes balloons and shapes them into works of art, creating decorative installations for your special occasions. No event is too big or too small, and their custom personalization service is top notch. Westchester Pop Stars is a private studio, quickly expanding. In-person consultation is by appointment only. Send an email to westchesterpopstars@gmail.com for more information or to schedule an appointment. No need to hire an event stylist. All you need is balloons. Currently servicing Westchester, Putnam, New York City, and Connecticut. To find Westchester Pop Stars, search for them on Instagram, Facebook, or Google.
Time for the mail route on the fade route. If you want to get featured, hit us up, faderoutemail@gmail.com, or slide in those DMs at faderoutepodcast on IG, or drop us a line on our Twitter page at faderoutednz. All right, boys and girls, we have a full email box for you. And if you want your email read, hit us up at faderoutemail@gmail.com or slide in our DMs at faderoutepodcast on IG. You can message us on Facebook as well. You can even drop us a line on Twitter at faderoutednz. First question comes from John in Gainesville, Florida. New to the show. What's going on, guys? The Bucks lost on Sunday because of Tom Brady. How many more losses will the Bucks suffer this year?
Well, you know, this all comes because of that pick six he threw, and he wasn't really sharp in the second half. They have to play the Bills and the Saints. These are the only teams left on their schedule with a winning record. So let's say they lose both of those games, and then they have a slip-up against one of the bad teams like Carolina or Atlanta or something. They're still going to finish the season 6-3, leaving them with a 12-5 record and probably one of the top seeds in the NFC. So I'd say at most 3, probably just 1.
I'd say that's a pretty safe bet because you – that eventually their secondary starts to get healthy. Murphy Bunting comes back.
The other thing is the two games that they have against the winning teams, they're home games. They're playing the Saints at home, and they're playing Buffalo at home.
Yeah, back-to-back.
And it's like you said, it's really just defense. I mean, offense, I think Antonio Brown hurt his ankle, but he's going to come back. And they're putting up 30, 40 points a game. So you're gonna have to put up points to beat them. It'd be interesting if they were to face Dallas again or if the Packers would play them. I'm talking about like in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I would think that Dallas would probably give them the hardest time, but you know, what'll happen is the Bucks will shut down the run. You're going to force Dallas to pass. And eventually, I think Dak gives you one. And as good as Dallas's defense has played, I mean, Tom's seen you once. He's going to get to see you again. I mean, look at his record the second time he faces defenses. I love Aaron Rodgers this year. He's playing well. He's playing much better than I thought he was going to play. But can they go into Tampa and beat Tampa? The biggest problem Tampa may face is against the Cardinals, believe it or not. Because Chandler Jones is going to get after Tom. And Kyler Murray is going to run around and create plays and get Hopkins and Kirk and AJ Green and all those guys open. Don't be fooled. They lost to Green Bay, but that might be the most formidable opponent the Bucs face leading up to the Super Bowl.
Definitely. I'm definitely going to count Buffalo and New Orleans back to back. Like, those are truly tough games. If they split that, They're gonna be en route to a division title, I think. Then you go Carolina, Jets, Carolina. That should be an easy 3-0.
I mean, the Carolina Panthers have fallen apart, and Atlanta is trash, and the Saints just lost their quarterback. So how could we really factor any of them into the juggernaut that is Tampa right now?
Now, here's the thing. If they're gonna get picked off, they're gonna get picked off in the next 4 weeks. They have the bye this week, so you scratch that one off. That leaves you Washington with Terry McLaurin against their suspect secondary.
And Washington played them tough in the playoffs last year.
Did, absolutely. And Taylor Heinicke is going to play his Heine off. The Giants almost beat them last year. You have a drop, a key critical drop that could have been called a penalty. But you're talking something very different. The Giants have some level of momentum. And then the Colts, you definitely, I mean, if Carson Wentz doesn't shit the bed, Michael Pittman's a beast. Zach Pascal can play. You have Jack Doyle, the ghost of Jack Doyle, Mo Alley Cox. You have offensive weapons that can move the ball down the field against this defense. So of the bunch, I'd say split. Either Buffalo or New Orleans, take a coin, flip it, whatever. And then I'm going to pencil in the Colts. I think I like the Colts right now. You know, it's a little too early, but I definitely like their shot. That being said, everybody else, and that's a steamroll job.
I like how you brought up the Giants. How about them missing a real opportunity last night? I mean, that was bad.
They had it, dude.
I mean, here's the thing is, like, you talk about Joe Judge and Daniel Jones being able to really solidify both of them getting an extension, and they missed it. You had the chance to go into Kansas City and beat Pat Mahomes on Monday Night Football, and penalties and sacks. And what a way to end the game. You get the ball back with a minute left. All you need to do is kick a field goal to tie, potentially win this game, as depleted as your team is, and you take two sacks and a sack on fourth down? Come on. And then the lineman picks up the ball, tries to advance it, and slides. What the fuck is going on?
Head up their ass football. Daniel Jones still needs seasoning. Jason Garrett, the play calling is too conservative. Again, Booker up the middle. Do you have any other running plays besides Booker up the middle?
It's just not creative enough. Like, look at
it's
what
not.
Kansas City. Look at what Kansas City was doing on the goal line. I know it didn't do much, but it's innovative. It's fun. Kelsey takes the snap, flips it back to Mahomes. Mahomes tries to throw an out pass to Tyreek Hill. Like, they got creative with it. Get fun with it. It's so dreary and simple. And you got Tony. You got Kadarius Tony. You drafted this guy. I know he got hurt in the game, but let's move him around a little bit. He's got Tyreek Hill speed.
I was watching the game with my girl last night. Shout out. Happy birthday, babe. And we turned to each other and said, Kadarius Toney is the best quarterback on this team. And you have Daniel Jones and Mike Glennon, but Kadarius Toney is the best quarterback on this team. That's all you need to know about the state of the quarterback of the Giants. The offensive line still isn't fixed. I know you said Dave Gettleman's probably safe, but yeah, no. I just don't see it. His hog mollies. They're not hog mollies. They're just crap. Email number two from Ran in Brooklyn, friend of the show. What's up, Ran? Bigger story, guys. The 6-1 Bulls or the under 500 bucks?
Very interesting question there. I like it. I would say that it's... See, basketball is a long season. So I think you really have to go with the Chicago Bulls. The acquisitions of DeRozan and Ball seem to be going well with Zach LaVine, even though he's hurt now. The Milwaukee Bucks, they're still the champs. They'll figure it out. I don't think there's really much to talk about there.
Yeah, right now, I mean, it's to be expected that there would be some semblance of a Super Bowl Larry O'Brien hangover for the Bucks. Giannis is still Giannis. You know, he's leading the team in most offensive categories, including nose hair. You're looking at 27.3 points a game, 6 assists. You're shooting 53% from the field. It's the Giannis show. It continues to be the Giannis show. So you do need to be impressed more with the depth and overall play of the Chicago Bulls when you take into account that, you know, DeMar DeRozan is the guy that's really taking the lead on this team right now. Now, granted, they lost, I believe it was Williams, I think, who just fractured his wrist. But, yeah, that's going to be a key loss for them. But you're looking at the acquisitions to complement Zach LaVine and Lauri Markkanen finally jettisoning Lauri Markkanen. I do like their chances. It's a long season. Eventually, the cream rises to the top, and the cream is the Bucks. The Bulls are a young team. They're a good team. They're a playoff team, but we saw this last year with the Knicks. Don't buy into the fool's gold. I'm more impressed with the second year than the first year, as far as the Knicks are concerned. I'll be more impressed with the Bulls next year, because this is the baby Bulls all over again. Email number three comes from Stu in La Jolla, another new emailer. Hey guys, the Padres hired Bob Melvin after the A's extended him. Is he the answer in San Diego?
Geez. I mean, first of all, hats off to Billy Beane for letting Bob walk and not getting any compensation in return. He leaves the Oakland A's as the most winning manager in Oakland A's history with 853 wins over 10 years, surpassing Tony La Russa in June. You know, I really liked Ozzie Guillen for the San Diego Padres job. I know you're probably going to laugh about that, but I just think about what he did with the White Sox and how he's just like a no-nonsense guy, and that's kind of what I think they need. They need someone who's, you know, had some good skin in the game, who's won a championship, to be like, yo, guys, this is how it's done, and enough with the nonsense. I'm cool with Bob getting the job. I mean, if he could win in Oakland with their payroll and their Moneyball system, he should be able to win in San Diego.
Well, the one thing that Bob Melvin certainly has is experience. I mean, he's managed consistently, with the exception of 1 year, a scout for the Mets from 2003 straight through to 2021. So that's pretty, pretty, pretty good. Career 1346 and 1272 as a manager. And like you said, he's able to take chicken shit and make chicken salad. Like, seriously, he's used to this. Now he's given a completely ready team. And not only a completely ready team, but in theory, a stacked and loaded team, because they get Mike Clevinger back next year. So you slot him in at the top. You move Snell down to number two. Now, all of a sudden, Darvish is your three. That's pretty impressive. You know? That's right up there with the Dodgers. And you know what? They can even fuck with the Dodgers and sign Max Scherzer. Like, what? Why not? Let's get crazy. Let's go nuts. So that has been the bugaboo. Andy Green did not have enough experience in cachet. Jace Tingler had no experience in cachet. Bob Melvin, does he have a World Series ring to his name? But he has 20 years of experience. I think that's something. That's something to be said for that. And like Ozzie Guillen would have been an interesting, just be from the simple fact that he is in a break, and I don't know how that would have worked with Fernando Tatis Jr. He's very in your face. Ozzie is Ozzie. Polarizing. You either love him or you hate him. I actually liked Ron Washington for that job. I thought he's a player's manager. He got a raw deal with Texas. He resigned because of the affair that came out, but he doesn't get enough credit for what he did during his time in Texas. Who else got Texas, the Texas Rangers, to back-to-back World Series?
Oh, he's
the answer is nobody. The answer is nobody.
He's a third base coach on the Rays right now. I mean, he's great. He's credited with getting Eric Chavez his gold gloves. I think Eric actually gave him one because he said he wouldn't have got it without Ron Washington.
Wash would be a great hire anywhere. But no, you have so many issues. Even Zach Scott got fired today. Nobody wants to give you permission to interview their front office. You know, don't worry about the manager. Like that's, you know, clearly you didn't last time when you hired Carlos Beltran. If you've ever listened to a podcast and thought to yourself, hey, I can do this, then do I have the tools for you? If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. No specialty training, no specialty programs needed. Anchor will then distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. Plus, you can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. How cool is that? It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Go to anchor.fm and get started today. That's anchor.fm. What are you waiting for? Download the app. The Fade Store presents the Alleged Superstar of the Week Award. Are you ready, boys and girls? It is time for the Alleged Superstar of the... Here's how it goes. We put our nominees up on our Twitter poll at FadeRouteDNZ. You vote often the winner. Gets the alleged superstar statue, lovingly known as the ass. Last week, Dave.
No idea.
Well, this is the first time that only an organization has won. The Cleveland Indians are the winner. Ass for balling of the roller derby team and subsequent trademark filing in a small African nation. So good job, Cleveland. I heard they started removing the Indians logo and likenesses off of Progressive Field today. Hopefully you have an alternative name because y'all are kind of screwed right now.
Maybe they could work it out where the roller derby team can come in the seventh inning and like skate around the field or something.
I don't know. Well, the way things are going, they may be coming out of the arm barn. Because you heard the thing about PETA with the bullpen, right?
I think they should change the name to the Slaughterhouse. How'd that work for everybody?
Oh,
now PETA's going to come after us.
I love animals. I love animals. PETA, please don't sue me. So, who are your nominees for the alleged superstar of the week this week, D?
All right, so my first nominee is Kyrie Irving. 7 weeks into the NBA season, and dude is still not vaccinated. Can't play for the Nets. Nets are 4-3. It's like, come on, Kyrie. They just want you to come out and play. Now he's talking about he may not even play for the Nets ever again. just keeps getting uglier and uglier. Kyrie Irving, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Next up, this is a terrible story, but Henry Ruggs, 22 years old, former number 12 pick in the NFL draft, was in a fatal DUI this morning where a woman lost her life. It's like, man, can't be doing this stuff and getting behind the wheel. Henry Ruggs, you are one of my alleged superstars of the week. And last and least, Coach Jim Harbaugh, you're up 30-14. You have a lead in East Lansing, and it went up in smoke, and you've somehow found a way to lose. You're now 2-13 versus the top 10, and you're 3-9 versus OSU and MSU. You, Jim Harbaugh, or my alleged superstar of the week. What say you, Z?
Those are all very good and compelling arguments. I'm going number Kyler Murray. Your big breakout moment. Thursday night, prime time, against Aaron Rodgers. 274 yards. A soul-crushing interception that A.J. Green didn't even know was coming. Kyler Murray, my 11th superstar of the week. Odell Beckham Jr., one reception, 6 yards, and your dad's producing videos throwing Baker Mayfield under the bus. Beckham Jr. Go ahead.
I think he has 20 receptions of the season. Or I might be wrong. It might be like 13. It's something really low.
Can we officially say that both teams lost that trade? I think we can finally say that both teams lost that trade. But Odell Beckham Jr., you are my legend superstar of the week. And then last but not least, I wanted to go with Jarvis Landry. I nixed him. I wanted to go with Tom Brady. But Steve Cohen, you got all this fucking money. A president of baseball operations. Stop letting Sam Alderson run this show. Steve Cohen, you are my alleged superstar of the week. Do better. Just do better. It is now your time to vote. And that was an extremely long flush, because it was a bad one this week. Your favorite podcast has its own merch line now. Go to teespring.com, type The Fade Store into the search bar, and have access to our sweatshirts, t-shirts, long sleeve shirts, tank tops, and much more on the way. That's teespring.com. Type in The Fade Store at the search bar and show your boys some love. Rep the Fade Route brand only at The Fade Store, only on teespring.com. Let's run the option and give you our picks for the week. All right. It is time for the option for week 9. How'd you do last week, brother?
Awful. Awful. I only got 5 games last week. Awful. Absolutely awful. Dog shit.
Last week was a rough week for both of us. I went 6-9, and well, what can you say? Like, a lot of upsets, right? We both had the Bengals. I know I had the Giants over the Chiefs. Like, that was kind of silly on my part, but you know what? Sometimes you need to take that leap of faith. But we're jumping back at it. We're not going to let it deter us. Teams on bye this week, Lions. We bet. The Seahawks.
They'll find the Bucks. A way to lose.
Well, Russell Wilson, no more pin. Time to win. Way to steamroll over Geno, Russ. The Bucks and the Washington football team. But we begin the Thursday night game. And how appropriate. Mike White leads the New York Jets, the 2-5 New York Jets, into Indianapolis to take on Carson Wentz and the Colts. Who you got?
Okay. It's a tough one. I am going with the Colts. They played a solid game last week, and I think they keep it going.
This is a tough one. It really is. It's the two bags of shit theory. Which one stinks less? Both are pretty bad, but I do like the connection of Wentz to Pittman. I think there's something there. And Jonathan Taylor still exists. So I'm going to go with the Colts, but it's not going to be a rout. It's definitely going to be a close game. Short week. I don't expect anything revolutionary. Sunday afternoon, 1 p.m., the 3-4 Falcons take on the Trevor Siemian Saints.
Oh, what a great game that's going to be. I'm actually going to take the Falcons. They played the Panthers pretty tough. I think they get a win against the Saints.
This is another tough one in light of the injuries and the Ryan to Pitts connection is real and it's spectacular. I'm going to go with the Saints. I think Ingram and Kamara take over. Don't think the Falcons can stop them. Broncos at the 6-1 Cowboys. No Cooper Rush this week. Adjust accordingly. I believe Dak Prescott is going to be back under center.
No Von Miller either, so I'm taking the boys.
They back there. Zeke and Tony Pollard. You got this one. Cowboys win, and pretty comfortably too. Battle of the 500s and a rematch of a Super Bowl. Pats at Panthers.
I'm going to take the Panthers. They can get the upset.
Well, who's starting a quarterback? Do we know? Is Sam going to be in? I know he's a concussion protocol. Is it going to be him, geez, or PJ Walker, you think?
Oh, geez. I was banking on Sam playing. Yeah, I'm banking on Sam playing. He's really going to see ghosts if he's had a coming out of concussion protocol.
Oh, geez. Well, I'm going to take
big
the
win,
Pats.
Big win by the Pats last week, by the way. Going into San Diego and beating San Diego and Justin Herbert. Well done.
Well, that's an alleged superstar team. We could have put a whole team in there, too. But I'm taking the Pats. I think, Mac Jones is going to have a good day. And the Panthers are not trending in the right direction. The 3-4 Vikings at the Ravens.
I'm going to take the Ravens. Bye week helps them.
I'm going to go with the Ravens as well. I think they can stifle Dalvin Cook enough. And Lamar's going to have a day. Browns at Bengals.
I'm going to go with the Bengals. I was tempted to take the Browns here, but Baker's hurt. And I think the Bengals are going to be upset. And this is a division game, right? They're going to win their division game. So I'm going with the Bengals here.
The Browns are still in terms of their running game. Now you have a disgruntled Odell Beckham Jr. Is there any other kind of Odell Beckham Jr.? Bengals should take this one pretty handily. And Joe Mixon is going to be the guy that does it. Bills at Jaguars.
Billy's. I'm taking the Bills.
I got caught up in Jaguar fever last week. I will not do it again. Jacksonville is not Miami. No offense to the city of Jacksonville. Buffalo wins. The battle of the 1-7s. You have Dolphins at the Dolphins.
Oh, I'm going to go with the Dolphins.
I can miss this game on my schedule. Here we go. How about that one? I'm going to go with the Texans. Davis Mills is pretty decent. They still have all their veterans for the most part. Why not? But neither team's going anywhere, and Brian Flores is dead man walking. He's probably going to get fired at some point. 5-2 Raiders go into the Meadowlands to take on the Giants.
I gotta believe that the Raiders are gonna win. Somehow Derek Carr is putting together quite the season. I believe he leads the league in passing. I think last game he was like 31 of 34, only threw 3 incomplete passes. That's incredible. I'm gonna go with the Raiders.
Nassib and Crosby are going to live in the backfield. So it's going to be a long day for Mr. Jones. We're probably going to see Mike Glennon at some point. I'm going to go with the Raiders, even though the Giants played the Chiefs close. Too vanilla. The team is too vanilla and too undisciplined. We are into the 4 o'clock slate, the 4-3 Chargers at the Eagles.
Chargers, they rebound.
They got to come across country. I'm going to take the Eagles. I don't want to. I would love the Chargers to be good, but they're scaring me a little bit. And I think the Eagles, they can pack a punch. So I'm going to go with them. What should have been a good game, but is not because the Chiefs aren't living up to their end of the bargain. 7-1 Packers go into Arrowhead against the Chiefs.
Packers.
Pretty easily. Packers are taking this one. Division battle. 7-1 Cardinals at the Niners.
Cardinals.
Cardinals, pretty easy as well. Your Sunday night special. Titans at Rams.
The Rams, excited. They're my fantasy defense. Should be fine.
This is tough. This is going to be a tough game. This might very well be the game of the week. If Julio Jones can play, it'll be a lot more exciting. But with a depleted running game and a depleted wide receiver core, I'm going to take the Rams. And Monday nights from Heinz Field in Pittsburgh, the 3-5 Bears at the Steelers.
The Steelers.
Pretty comfortably. It's amazing to me that there is such a drop-off between teams this year. You have clearly good. You have clearly a handful of good and a whole lot of shit.
This has been the Fade Route with D and Z. You can catch our podcast on Wednesday night on the Anchor, on Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts. Until next time, stay faded, everyone.
We'll talk to you next week. If you want to get on the action, we want to hear from you. Hit us up at Fade Route Podcast on IG, FadeRouteMail@gmail.com, or slide in our DMs at Twitter at FadeRouteDNZ. Questions, comments, picks, segment suggestions, you name it. We want to hear from you. Get at us, in crowd.